From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On our previous program, Dr. Cairns began a series of messages focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, I Am that I Am. Here is the revelation of the God of eternity, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. During his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself, clearly stating his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's meditation comes from 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. The thought of David's heart at this time was a false thought, because he certainly had no ground for thinking that God's anointing him by Samuel was intended to be left as an empty, unmeaning act. On no one occasion had the Lord deserted his servant. He had been placed in perilous positions very often, but not one instance had occurred in which divine intervention had not delivered him. The trials to which he had been exposed had been varied. They had not assumed one form only, but many. Yet in every case, he who sent the trial had also graciously ordained a way of escape. David could not put his finger upon any entry in his diary and say of it, Here is evidence that the Lord will forsake me, for the entire tenor of his past life proved the very reverse. He should have argued from what God had done for him, that God would be his defender still. But is it not just in the same way that we doubt God's help? Is it not mistrust without a cause? Have we ever had the shadow of a reason to doubt our Father's goodness? Have not his loving kindnesses been marvelous? Has he once failed to justify our trust? Ah, no. Our God has not left us at any time. We have had dark nights, but the star of love has shone forth amid the blackness. We have been in stern conflicts, but over our head he has held aloft the shield of our defense. We have gone through many trials, but never to our detriment, always to our advantage. And the conclusion from our past experience is that he who has been with us in six troubles will not forsake us in the seventh. What we have known of our faithful God proves that he will keep us to the end. Let us not then reason contrary to evidence. How can we ever be so ungenerous as to doubt our God? Lord, throw down the Jezebel of our unbelief, and let the dogs devour it.
Was blind, but now
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his first message in a series of studies dealing with the occurrences in John's Gospel where the Lord Jesus Christ asserted his deity by using that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. It is the name of the eternal, self-existent, never-changing God. In the Gospel of John, Christ used this name of himself 7 times. In the 8th chapter, the Jews asked Christ, Who art thou? In verse 58, Christ gave his final answer to that question when he stated, Before Abraham was, I am. The Jews knew exactly what he meant, and in their unbelief and rejection of Christ, they took up stones to kill him. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is setting forth the implications of Christ's declaration, I am. In no uncertain terms, the Lord Jesus declared his deity. Indeed, as we'll see, if Christ is not Jehovah, he cannot be the Savior of sinners. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
This morning we'll be considering the words of the 58th verse of this chapter. I say considering them, we will touch upon them, scratch the surface, because the words, though brief and easily memorized, surpass the capability of any man either to understand or adequately explain or express. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." There are two things immediately obvious in those words. The Authorized Version, in translating it, uses two parts of the verb to be. Before Abraham was, the past tense of the verb to be. I am, the present tense of the verb to be. But the actual fact is that there are two different words here. Very different words. Before Abraham came into being, before Abraham became, or if I could use a translation of the same verb that appears in Galatians chapter 4, before Abraham was made, I am. And again, notice the difference in the tenses. He was made. I am. And this is Christ's answer to the question of who art thou? Now, the Jews fully grasped the meaning that he was giving because they took up stones to cast at him. William Van Doren, the great 19th century commentator, aptly remarked, just to sum up that scene, a lovely little way of memorizing it. He said, "So they took stones from the earthly temple to cast at the heavenly, the real temple of God." They took up stones because they knew what he meant. This is God's name. This is the Lord of hosts. This is the one who appeared to Moses. This is the great I am. And this is the third time you've said this. And now you've made it beyond all question, your claim. Before Abraham was made, I am. I want us to think this morning upon that answer, the final answer Christ gives to who art thou? Because appropriating what is called the incommunicable name of God, Christ claimed to be the eternally existent and unchangeable Jehovah. I want us to think of that, because quite simply it is saying, Jesus Christ is Jehovah. This is the fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith. There is nothing more fundamental than this. There is absolutely no room for error on this. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. That is his claim. And in it, there are four elements that we should pay attention to. Obviously, the first is the claim to deity. I am. Now, there's a contrast here, and I think I've already pointed it out enough. The contrast between the created and the uncreated. Before Abraham was made, I am. This is something that the Lord Jesus had already stated in that 23rd verse when he said, I am from above. I am not of this world. I am not of this order of creation. I'm not part of the cosmos. I do not exist in my essential being within the cosmos. I am not a created being. That's what he's saying. Before Abraham was made, I am the self-existent one, the one of whom we read in John 5:26, who has life in himself. And that's why he now takes to himself this incommunicable name of Jehovah, the great I am. Now, for the full significance of that, think of what the Lord said in Deuteronomy 32, verse 39. I, even I, am he. And there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Now that is the statement in the most absolute of terms of the prerogatives and powers of deity. God is sovereign. He is absolutely sovereign. He is answerable to no one but himself. He is judged by no standard but his own perfections. It is impossible that he be, say, or do anything that is unworthy of himself. But the whole fact here is, he is saying, I, even I, am he. There is no God with me. I am the absolute and sovereign God. And when the Lord Jesus, therefore, takes this title, I am, he's claiming absolute, essential deity. Now, that's not something the Jews wanted to hear. They weren't one little bit pleased about that. First they argued, then they mocked, and then they tried to kill him, fulfilling the very words, and, or should I say, exemplifying the very words that he had said, you seek to kill me. They had denied it, but now they prove it. They didn't want to hear this claim to deity. The Jews are not alone. Throughout church history, we have had the same phenomenon. There have been Unitarians of one kind or another afflicting the church from its very earliest days. Unitarianism is a sort of an umbrella title for a bunch of heretics who disagree with themselves on many, many issues, but they agree in denying the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the marks of most of the false cults that have sprung up over the last couple of hundred years has been the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. You'll be amazed at some of the zeal that these people show. They go door to door. Some of them call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. They are not from Jehovah, for they deny that Jesus is Jehovah. They are not witnesses of Jehovah, they are deniers of Jehovah. But they, with great zeal, they go from door to door. They go from country to country. Sometimes they are in countries that have just opened up before legitimate Christian missionaries get in there. And they're there already seeking to spread the poison of their Unitarian dogma, denying that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. But he is, and it's absolutely essential to the gospel that we recognize that. You see, why we need a human savior, one who can take the place of man, one who, as we were reminded in Pastor Braham's opening prayer this morning, one who in his own life wrought a perfect obedience to the law of God, working out a righteousness that fully satisfies God's law, which he imputes to his people who are in covenant union with him. Why we need a human savior who could live in our place and die in our place and rise again in our place and ascend to heaven in our place as our forerunner. We also need a savior who is truly God. Isaiah 43, verse 11, gives us the words of Jehovah, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And I put that quite bluntly. If Jesus Christ be not Jehovah, he cannot be the Savior. Because Jehovah says, beside me, there is no Savior. So the Lord Jesus rightly says, in effect, I am. I am the Lord Jehovah. That's how he presented himself to the Jews, and it's how he presents himself to us today. Now, we don't know much of how much Abraham saw of all this. Jesus said he saw my day, he rejoiced to see my day. So I suspect, to be quite honest, and here I know that I am at variance with people who are much better scholars than I, but I suspect Abraham saw a whole lot more than most Old Testament scholars give him credit for. I know the gospel was preached unto Abraham. I know that he knew that God had given him a covenant and promised him a seed. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise, and that all Abraham's hopes, therefore, were in Christ. Personally, I cannot believe that Abraham's hopes were all bound up in Isaac, except as he would be a link in the chain toward the final fulfillment of the promise. And I say that because Jesus said, "He saw my day." The idea is, and you could look at this in many ways, I think he saw it in prophetic vision. He saw it in typology. I think that day when he went up Mount Moriah and he said, "God shall provide himself a lamb." And God did intervene, and God did provide a sacrifice and the substitute that delivered Isaac from death. I think that day he saw something of the day of Jesus Christ and came to see something of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. I know he saw something of resurrection because on that very occasion he announced his faith in terms of the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection. Jesus says, "He saw my day." But without being dogmatic as to how much Abraham saw, what I'll say is this: whatever he saw set his soul aflame with joy. Jesus said, "He leapt for joy." He leapt for joy. And why shouldn't he? And why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? You know, I think that we've got to be very careful in our reaction against charismania and the lunacy that parades itself as Christianity in all too many places, that we don't become so hidebound that we wrap ourselves up in the shrouds of our own formality and our own traditions that we cannot respond to the vision of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Abraham caught a glimpse of Christ and he leapt for joy. Now we have the full revelation. We have the finished book of God. We have the teaching in its entirety. Jesus Christ stands fully revealed in the gospel. He says, "I am Jehovah." We see his day. Why the coldness? Why the deadness? Why the barrenness? Why the worldliness? Why the prayerlessness? What is wrong with us? Or could it be? Could it be that in many cases we have never seen his day at all? Or if we ever have, we have allowed the wickedness of this present evil age to becloud our vision, and we need to have the scales removed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.